Welcome to the Jesus Me and Anxiety podcast, where you can love Jesus and still not be okay every day. I'm your host, Cassie, and I'll be sharing way too personal parts of my journey with anxiety and panic attacks, hoping that together we can find ways to feel free, even if there are a million reasons to feel anxious. Episode 3 of Jesus, Me, and Anxiety, and I am so excited to be sharing today a little bit more of my journey with anxiety. I'm actually going to dive into a character flaw or issue that I have dealt with a lot of my life, and I used to have a really hard time admitting it. I don't know if other people listening out there have ever had issues that they, you know, it's just the ones that you want to kind of not talk about, but everybody else knows that you have that issue. And sometimes they even confront you about it and you still are like, that's not my issue. This is one of those things for me. And maybe I'm the only one that has ever done that, but the desire to be in control, the need to be in control, and then the just utter shattering of the universe when I'm not in control is definitely something that I've come a long way in, but still tries to creep up and be a character issue for me sometimes. And it causes me extreme amounts of anxiety to be out of control. And I have had different various times in my life where I have been so utterly out of control that it has caused me to have panic attacks, anxiety, just kind of one of those triggers for me. As we continue to talk about anxiety and my journey and other people's journey that I know, as we go into it, I think sometimes there are triggers that can bring out your anxiety more than normal. So I kind of tell people I always have this underlying issue with anxiety where I could maybe spiral out at any point, but there's these triggers that come along that cause the anxiety just to literally spiral out of control. And by that, I mean, you know, I start to have the panic attacks. I start to feel all of the physical feelings of anxiety. It goes from my mind to my body to this debilitating thing sometimes. And so being out of control, feeling like things are happening out of my control, can definitely be one of my triggers. And as I have been learning more about myself through Enneagram, I'm an Enneagram fan. If you're not, that's okay, because I actually was not at first. I hate being put in a box. I do not usually like personality tests. I don't want you to tell me that I'm this way, so I always feel this, or if I'm this way, then everything that I say is coming out of this personality type, or blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I can be this way, and I'm this way, and I'm this way. That actually is probably another part of being an Enneagram 8, is the fact that you kind of want to challenge the system a little bit. I don't want to be in a system. I want to be outside of the system and be in control myself. So anyways, another side note of my character issues. But learning about being an Enneagram 8 actually has been a profound step towards some of my anxiety resolving, because I've learned that I can know my weaknesses and strengths and work on them even while they're still there. And one of the things that, you know, being controlled by other people, or being controlled, I guess, even by my environment or by just the world itself, is an issue for me, especially as an Enneagram 8 who likes to be in control and have the power. So long before I knew about Enneagram 8, I was already beginning to realize that I had issues with change and things being out of my control. And like I said, it's a major anxiety trigger for me. And maybe it is for you as well. If you really sit down and start to think about anxiety, okay, what times in my life have I experienced higher levels of anxiety or have had that manifest in my body more, with panic attacks and the breathlessness and the palpitations or whatever your physical representation of anxiety is, when have I felt that? What was happening around me? You can start to pinpoint, okay, these are the things that cause me anxiety. And for me, one of those things is a lack of control of what's happening in my own life. It can be as small as just, I have a party planned, it's supposed to be outside, and, you know, that morning, all of a sudden, thunderstorms everywhere, and the party can't be outside. It can be as big as finding out I was pregnant 3 months after I had just had my third kid and basically spiraling just out of control in a huge way. So, and it's funny because I used to think that the issue was what was happening. So the reason that I'm feeling, you know, all the things that I'm feeling, the stress, the anxiety, is because of what is actually happening. So like all the crazy things, the storms is why I'm feeling anxiety, or the fact that I'm pregnant is why I'm feeling anxiety. But as I got deeper into why am I actually feeling anxiety, why am I actually feeling so anxious, why do I spiral into these crazy scenarios in my brain, and it just kind of loses control and loses all rationale. Like, why am I doing this? Why is this happening? And I feel like there's a difference between a stressful situation happening and you moving through it and moving on, and having anxiety or extreme anxiety about the situation and also the unknown outcomes of the situation. So, for example, my husband is a peacemaker. He's a very peaceful, laid-back person. He's also an introvert, so he thrives off of getting replenished from personal time, alone time, being at the house. He could definitely be a homebody if he wanted to. But that being said, he does get stressed sometimes. He'll have a stressful situation at work, come home, talk about it. Then the stress just seems to like melt away after like, you know, a couple of hours of calming down. He's fine. And I've had those situations too, where there's a stressful situation. It's over. It's done. We calm down. We're good. Anxiety seems to take stress, in my opinion, and again, I'm not a doctor or a psychiatrist or counselor or anything like that, but what's happened to me, I'm just going to share my example, is anxiety seems to take stress and amplify it times 1,000. So for example, let's go back to the same situation that I talked about. So the birthday party, it's planned outside, but I wake up and there's storms happening, there's rain, we can't have the party outside. So that could be a stressful situation for anybody, right? Everyone's like, oh, darn, like all these people are invited. Now I've got to either, you know, change the location, get all the word out, you know, reorganize the whole thing, or just cancel it. Okay, so then I have a devastated kid. This is stressful, blah, blah, blah. Anxiety kind of goes further in the fact that for me, it takes on a fear of the unknown outcomes. So for example, okay, the weather's bad. I have to cancel the party. All of a sudden, my brain starts thinking about, and I get anxious about, okay, how sad my kid's going to be. Does this devastation cause her issues, you know, psychologically? You know, am I disappointing her as a mom? Oh my gosh, I should have planned better. Why am I such a terrible parent? I'm anxious about the money that we spent on the party. Okay, we got this venue outside. We paid for it. We paid for all this stuff. Now if we cancel it, all this money is wasted. What if we can't reschedule it? What if people can't come if we reschedule it? Now we've just wasted all of this money that we probably could have put toward debt. Oh my gosh, by the way, we have so much debt. And why do we have debt? Well, it's my fault. And I shouldn't have made this decision or made this decision. And I wish that I wouldn't have been so dumb, or why would I have done that? Blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, I've gone from being stressed about this party that was supposed to happen outside to being anxious about our finances, my kid's future, my motherhood, like a million things that have nothing to do with the fact that there was a storm at this birthday party and we had to cancel it. And, you know, that sucks, but let's move on. So anxiety just seems to amplify the situation and make it extremely bigger, and also kind of shifts the perspective from what's actually happening to an internal thing and a fear of the future or the fear of other things spiraling out of control. And I think when you get to that point where things are spiraling out of your own control, it can make the anxiety even more enhanced, I guess, or just bigger. And for me, one of the most out of control times I've ever felt is the other example I gave, when I found out I was pregnant with my son, our baby number 4, which we definitely were not planning on. My third kid was 3 months old. So I had just had a baby. I had had my third C-section and I was done. Done deal. We're done. 3 girls. We produce girls. That's great. Everyone, of course, is like, oh, are you going to stop because it's a girl? Number 3 was a girl as well. You've got 3 girls. You need a son. No. Done deal. We're done. three C-sections, all my body can handle. I'm done. We loved having three girls. It was great for the 3 months that we had three girls, you know, we thought it was great. But I remember when I found out that I was pregnant with my son and I had a 3-month-old baby in my arms, I literally, the amount of fear, and I'll use fear and anxiety and anxiousness kind of correlating with each other, because fear and anxiety, being anxious, they're all connected. A lot, you feel anxiety about things because you're fearful about the future or the unknown, or you're fearful about what's happening presently. And so they're very interchangeable. And it's also a very spiritual thing, which I'm sure we'll continue to talk about. But I went into such a fear, I don't even know, pit, the pit of fear, the pit of despair. And I allowed myself to kind of go on this anxiety journey of feeling like I really was going to die. I've never been so scared before in my life that I was going to die. And I remember I started having these terrible panic attacks and I was pregnant. And so then what would happen, of course, is, oh gosh, I'm so like fearful of this fourth C-section, two C-sections in 1 year. They don't recommend this. I'm reading all the articles, which if you're an anxious person, you're prone to anxiety. My number one advice, probably over anything right now in this day and age, do not Google things. It is the worst. And I was the worst at it. I constantly, when I felt anxious about something, I would just like Google about it, especially when it came to my health. So for example, I'm about to have a second C-section 11 months apart. This is not advisable. And I already know that. So why am I going to go and read on Google about all the things that could happen to my body and how I can die? So that's what I did. And I did find some encouraging things like, oh yeah, I had two C-sections in 1 year and I'm fine. It's not advisable, but I'm fine. And I'm thinking, okay, there's like 5 people on Google that I can find that are totally fine. But then there's also a million articles about how you can die or how you can be severely injured or how your body will never be the same and blah, blah, blah. And so of course I become more anxious. Well, then I'm having anxiety and panic attacks while I'm pregnant. So then I start thinking about all the things that can happen to my baby because I'm so anxious and stressed and having panic attacks. My heart's beating out of my chest and I'm experiencing all these things that I shouldn't be experiencing. They tell you when you're pregnant, don't be stressed because it could hurt the baby. So now I'm feeling anxious about the baby. And you can see, if you've never had anxiety and you're listening to this just for the pure joy of hearing my voice, which I can't imagine, it is crazy. It sounds crazy. If you've never experienced it, it sounds crazy. But if you have experienced anxiety on any level, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like one thought just leads to another thought, another thought, another thought. And before you know it, your mind has just taken off in this made-up world that doesn't really exist, but you are feeling very physically there in that world, and it takes you to this place of extreme anxiety. And so with being pregnant with number four, I was able later to go back and think about why was the anxiety so crazy. And I really don't think it was about what was actually happening. It was more about the fact that I didn't control it. I was out of control, and it triggers this response in me to feel anxious about the outcomes. Because when I control something, when I'm in control of what I decide to do, for example, I decide to try to have a baby, and I know the outcome of that is get pregnant, have a baby, in my case, have a C-section, and then I raise a baby, and the baby gets older, and I can picture what the future is like with this third kid or first kid or second kid that I planned. Take you to an example of feeling out of control is when you get pregnant and you had no idea that this is what was going to happen. You were not planning it. It doesn't even seem scientifically possible. And you didn't plan, or for my case, I didn't plan for the future outcomes. I didn't plan for what it would look like. I didn't set it up in my mind. I wasn't ready for it. So I therefore am out of control. I'm not in control of this situation or the circumstances or the outcome of what's going to happen. Therefore, all I can do is imagine how crazy it's going to be, how insane it's going to, you know, be having four kids in general, and or whatever the circumstances. And so anxiety just kind of takes you on this journey of I haven't planned, so therefore it's probably going to be insane. It's not going to work out. It's going to be crazy. It's scary. I don't like it, and I'm out of control. And so I really had to come to terms with the fact that I just am not in control of a lot of things. I really am not, and you're not. I hate to break it to you, if you do think that you are in control of a lot of things in your world, you're really not. I mean, if you have a great job, awesome, but your company could go down tomorrow. I mean, I'm not trying to make you anxious, but you're just not in control of it. Even if you are, I mean, you might be the biggest, baddest manager or CEO or whatever, and it's still, it might not work out. You could get laid off tomorrow. You have no idea. You could get, literally tomorrow, I could wake up and feel something weird and go to the doctor and have cancer and die 6 months from now. And I'm not saying that to bring anxiety to you or to myself, because that already kind of makes me feel a little anxious just saying those things out loud. But I'm saying it as a revelation of we're really not as in control of the things that we do think we're in control of, if that makes sense. So even though I think I planned to have 3 kids, or I think I planned to have this kind of job, or I think I plan to do all these things, and so that makes me feel in control, I'm still very out of control of the outcomes or the future of my decisions. And so a realization of, yeah, maybe I do think I'm in control of some things, and then when I'm out of control, I get crazy. Well, honestly, I'm out of control most of the time. I'm not really in control of very much. So how do I cope with being out of control the majority of the time, the majority of my life? Honestly, I talk to myself out loud a lot, especially recently. This is like a new kick that I have. I'm sharing it with you because, first of all, I'm not sharing it with you so that you'll think I'm crazy, even though you might by the end of this whole thing, because I do talk to myself a lot. But I'm saying this because, first of all, this whole thing is about Jesus. And obviously, there is a Bible verse. Remember, I told you last episode, if you haven't listened to it, I'm not going to go like searching for Bible verses before I do these podcasts so that you'll think I'm super smart and I'm just quoting scripture. What I am going to do is tell you that I know that there are things in the Bible. You can look it up. Just Google it. It's in there. There is a verse that says there is power in your tongue. There's life and death in your tongue. They might even be 2 different verses. Let's be real. But I just know that that's in the Bible. I know I've read it. And the point I'm trying to make here is that there is power in what we say. And so I do say a lot of things out loud, and it really does help me because a lot of things that bring anxiety are in my head. They're not things that I say out loud, but this ongoing conversation that I'm having in my head is what causes me anxiety. The conversations like I mentioned earlier, where I just spiral into, from a birthday party to finances to my kids' future to my motherhood just being a mess. All of that's happening in my head. But when I say something out loud, it's almost like something triggers even in my mind. And I feel like that's why God encourages us to use our voice, because I do think things happen. And I also think that our mind gets stopped. Whenever we start talking out loud, you can't necessarily be thinking a million different things while you're saying something out loud. You can to some extent, but whenever you start saying things out loud, your mind starts to have to kind of follow, or you really will go insane. So when I am trying to cope with feeling out of control, I will literally say out loud, I am not in control of this, and I can't be. And it's almost like I'm telling myself, I am not in control. I can't be in control. So I just need to like understand that first. I'm not in control of what's happening. I can't be in control of it. So let's just go ahead and lay that out there. And then I ask myself literally out loud, what can I control right now? And so let me give you an example of a normal everyday thing that makes me anxious. And you're probably going to think I need medication. I'm not going to say I haven't considered it. If you're on medication, that's awesome. I don't judge that at all. I have tried to stay away from getting on medications just because I personally haven't had the best experiences when I am taking any medication. Doesn't necessarily work out for me because I start to feel anxious about all the things that can happen to me because of the side effects of medication. So that's another hypochondria story in itself. But back to what I'm talking about, I literally will say out loud, what can I control? So example, almost every day I feel some sort of either stress or anxiety or fear. I can't even explain how all those things happen, but about just my day-to-day things. And one of those things is the fact that I am a mom of four kids. And I do apologize for any men who are listening to this and going, I cannot relate to you at all. I'm so sorry. I am a mom, so I'm going to talk about that because that sometimes brings me a lot of anxiety. And maybe you're a dad and having a lot of kids or even just one kid brings you anxiety. But for me, I'm at home with my four kids all day, and I have they just turned 3 and 4. My Irish twins just turned 3 and 4, and they are still in a season of, there are tantrums, there are these episodes of vying for attention, there's fights and arguments, there's a lot of crying from my little son, who is very much still like a baby, poor kid. And I don't know if it's because he's the last one, or if it's because he's the only boy, or if it's just because he's a difficult child, but there is still a lot of crying that comes from this little bundle of joy. And I also homeschool two older kids. And so there are a lot of times in my house where I just feel out of control. Like, they're all ganging up on me. I don't know how to handle this. So I will literally catch myself saying out loud, I am not in control of my kids. I cannot control their behaviors. I cannot control their emotions. I just got to stop trying, because I can't. And if you're a parent, newsflash, you cannot control them. You can discipline them and train them. And trust me, we do that. But you cannot control a 2 and 3-year-old's tantrums and when what sets them off. You can teach them in that process, but it takes time. It takes time to develop them and to help them learn not to have tantrums and blah, blah, blah. So I can't control them. I can't control when my oldest kids are exhausted and they don't feel like doing school and they're emotional about failing at math, or they're emotional about failing at their writing project or whatever. And therefore, I have to say, what can I control right now? What can I control that will help me not feel so anxious? And because what happens is when all that's happening in my house, when emotions are high, when everyone needs something, that's another biggie. When everyone needs me at the exact same time, there's 4 of them, 1 of me, I have 2 hands. I may can help 2 of them at one time. I definitely can't help all 4 of them at one time. So that is out of my control. I literally am like, I can only do 1 of you at a time. So everyone else is going to be patient and understanding, and, you know, and they're not really the best at that sometimes. So I have to say, okay, what can I control in this moment? And really, in a lot of those situations, all I can control is my emotions and my reactions. And that really does, when I say out loud, okay, I don't really talk to anxiety, but sometimes I do say, listen, to myself, I cannot control what's happening right now, but I can control how I react. And I have to say it out loud before I react a lot of times, because if I don't, I will react poorly. And I will actually react out of my own anxiety and stress in the situation. Because when my physical body starts manifesting my anxiety, I start to get to this point where I feel like I just need to lay down, get away, close the door, run away, and hide, because I'm scared of what is happening with my children right now, or I'm scared of other things and my kids are just getting the brunt of it. And so instead of doing that, I'm really trying to practice saying, okay, I can control my reaction right now. Fear and anxiety is definitely not going to control my reaction. So I'm not going to run away and hide. I'm not going to break down, even though I do encourage you to break down sometimes when you need it. But every time, I cannot just continue to break down. I cannot continue to allow my emotions to control me yelling or spinning out of control myself. So I have to say out loud, I can control my reaction right now. And I've got Jesus on my side to help me with that, which is the most important thing. So when I say that out loud, I really do feel this, like, okay, I take a deep breath and I try to react in a way that doesn't conform to my anxiety and fear. I try to react in a way that is the opposite of that, which is love, which is joy and peace. And so that's something that I've been practicing. I think, you know, anxiety can make me feel out of control of everything, but I have to remind myself that in spite of my fears, in spite of my overwhelmed feeling, in spite of my physical manifestation of anxiety, I can control some things. And Jesus is the one that helps me control those things. He's the one that walks through this whole thing with me and gives me ideas of how to respond. And I cannot allow my anxious thoughts, my fear, and my anxiety to rule how I respond to things that I'm not in control of. I have to respond how Jesus would. I have to respond out of a peace that passes all understanding. I want to respond out of that. I don't want to allow my anxiety to make every decision for me, including parenting decisions or decisions about my reactions to things. I want Jesus, I want Holy Spirit to truly work in me stronger and overpowering the fear and anxiety. And I do believe in a peace that passes all understanding. And if you are in situations right now where you feel completely out of control and it's causing your anxiety and stress levels and fear to just be out of control and spiral out, I want to tell you that seriously, Jesus wants to walk through it with you. You are not alone in this. And we've talked about this on other episodes. Anxiety can be a very isolating thing. You have to make it not isolating. I have to make it not isolating. I have to invite Jesus into my anxiety. I have to invite even other people into my anxiety and say, I'm not doing this alone. I'm not going to get caught up in my fear bubble, my anxious bubble. I'm going to allow myself to say out loud, okay, I cannot control this. What can I control? Jesus, help me to figure out what I can do in this situation to not let my fear and anxiety control how I respond to these situations, but allow you to respond to these situations through me. So he's not scared of it. He's not scared of your storm of anxiety. I keep reiterating that. Jesus is with us in this anxiety, and he wants to help us even when we feel out of control in the most crazy situations. He wants to be there. He wants to help you figure out ways that you can respond. He wants you to figure out ways that you can kind of downplay the fear, get that as low as possible, and be able to respond in love and peace that passes all understanding. So my hope for you today is that when you feel out of control, you can allow yourself to say out loud, you know what? I'm not in control and I can't be in control of everything, but I can control the fact that I'm not going to let my anxiety rule my life and my reactions, even though it's there. I'm not going to act like it's not there, but I am going to find other ways to respond that are not responding in fear. I'm going to take control of how I react to things that I'm not in control of. And again, Jesus is always with me and you in our anxiety.
Thanks for listening to the Jesus, Me, and Anxiety podcast. I would love to hear from you. So if you'd like to share your journey with me, email jesusmeandanxiety@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at Cassie Russell. This podcast was produced by Phoenix Creative, which happens to be my amazing husband's company. So check it out at myphoenixcreative.com.